begin by sharing with you a pseudo-dilemma that I have. And you can take your position on this issue and decide whether you think it's a good thing or a bad thing. So in the latest Jewish Action, which I got for free because I wrote an article in it, Ayin Shem, okay? Not an important article, trust me. There was an ad for a company which imports a Jerusalem stone to New York, to the States.
Okay.
Right? So,
make your house out of Jerusalem stone.
Like you can make your.
It was
it's really.
Cheaper, it was cheaper in New York than it is here.
Probably. I can't answer that.
Until we build Jerusalem.
So, I must say, in all honesty, when I was in my shul, I really wanted them to put Jerusalem stone behind Aaron Kodesh, because it was impressive enough. Aaron Kodesh kind of sit there. But now that I'm here, I find the whole thing incredibly distasteful.
Because.
Not there. From what, right, from where stems the desire to build Jerusalem stone into your local JCC?
So that not only are you facing towards Yerushalayim, but you're facing to something that more than reminds you of Yerushalayim.
Ah.
As the immortal Pesach Chachma says, Shavushim within Yerushalayim.
Now, is the question you're facing, I mean, I'm going to be the cynic, can somebody take the other point of view? And say that instead of reminding of Yerushalayim,
you should think about it.
Oh, so you think that's a positive?
Yeah.
Right. That was my perspective, but one could take the opposite view and say that instead of reminding of Yerushalayim, you're simply replacing it. Why do I need to have Jerusalem stone in Jerusalem? I've got it here in what? Yes. You think I'm being totally cynical?
What was the ulterior motive around a way of land from Israel and bring it to other places?
Nah, it's rocks. They dug it up.
So what?
I dug it up from somewhere. What?
What was the ulterior motive?
What do you mean the ulterior motive?
Well, why did they bring it? Because they thought it looked nice? Because they wanted to make Jerusalem in America? Or they wanted to dream about their ultimate
That's what I'm asking you.
I'm asking you.
Who knows? People still buy it.
It's
a big company. We didn't do it. They didn't have the money. But I think they didn't like the idea. I think they didn't like the idea anyway. But why do people do it? A lot of people do it.
Worse.
What?
It's even worse. They didn't like it.
I'm asking, why do people do it? Why do people buy Jerusalem?
You're saying is that by having it, there's one less reason to come to Israel. You can say, look, I've got it here, why do I need to go there?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's difficult for me to go all the way to Israel, so therefore I've got a bit of Israel here.
That's the other side. Okay.
But
why do we do it here?
I don't think so. I think
why do we have Jerusalem stone in Jerusalem?
No, we're not in Jerusalem. Yeah.
So you like how it looks?
It's solidarity. It's a brand. It's this means I'm Jewish. It means I'm part of Israel. It means I'm part of Israel.
I don't know. I used to have the more positive view, and now I'm not sure anymore. I mean, somebody can make a living, of course. It's very important for somebody to make a living. For good Jews to make a living. But I'll get back to it. I introduce this by means of, and then we'll come back to this, of course. Last we learned, we were discussing the name of the Yad Vinyamin Ultimate Frisbee Team.
The White Donkeys.
Right, unknowingly. I didn't know this, but apparently it's now named the White Donkeys after this year. Of course, you guys all remember, of course, that White Donkeys aren't exactly the complimentary thing you want Mashiach to be riding on, unless, of course.
If we win, we'll change the name.
Call yourself the Mustangs, the Lamborghinis. Okay. Okay. So we're now going to continue on page Ayin, at the top of page Ayin. We got to page Samach Tep. We're going to be skipped a little bit because it's not so relevant, and we're going to go to page Ayin, the top. Rav Teichler was discussing Sefer Netzach Yisrael in the next paragraph is Vani Lamadati. Okay. Rav Teichler was discussing why suffering. From whence our suffering? Why do the Jewish people need to suffer the way they do? And he answered. The first answer was they don't have to suffer. Mm-hmm. Just to recall, just to remind you, why do we call them the white donkeys? Because the white donkey was if the Jewish people sin, then they suffer, and if they don't sin, then they don't have to suffer. And the idea of Mashiach riding on a white donkey isn't the ideal; it's the b'di'evit situation. It's the de facto situation when the Jewish people don't behave the way they're supposed to. Okay. He also said, Kurim Havaya. He gives a sort of like, a, I would say, a 1B explanation, right? Bechinat HaHeder, that which was absent, Kurim Havaya, right? That before the presence. Ulefi Godel HaHeder, Yesh Lehakirat Godel Havaya, Sheyasano Hashem Yitzbarach Ve'etah Geula. It's almost like there's like a cosmic rule. If you want something before you have great things, you have to have great loss. You have to have great suffering. If you want to go down a big hill on the roller coaster, you have to go very high mountain, right? So in order, and says, and you know how great the presence will be, the presence of God will be, he says, by just how bad things are right now. Just how strong the absence of God is. Okay? Yavetz writes in his Sidur, Shekata b'zeh lashon, Hagdola v'hatzlacha, right? The greatness and the success. Al pi arov tzomachat achar hayiush machmat hanefila b'ra atzom tchila. Right? I'm sure there are English phrases to that allude to this as well. That greatness comes after almost like yiush, when you abandon all hope. That's when the great salvation really happens. You know, that almost when you think things can't get any worse and you really have given up, then that's when God's salvation happens. What?
This is probably the right generation.
Gotta be a movie or something like that. You know? What?
In the beginning, it is always.
Why is that?
In the beginning, what? Anybody? Why is that?
Yeah, why can't I just have my cake and eat it?
No.
Well, he spoke about the first thing is you could, if you deserved it.
Let's move on. Don't worry, it's my deserving thing.
Oh, okay. Why is it? He says that's. I mean, why is that cosmic rule true?
Why is that cosmic rule? You're gonna get into Star Wars. Carry on.
Okay. I saw a really funny video on YouTube this
week. No one caught that reference.
What? In the beginning it was dark?
In the beginning it is always dark. No?
You get it?
Still not?
No.
The never-ending story.
So don't know what that is. Okay. And I consider myself somewhat culturally literate. Ukumoshu enyan b'havayam v'mitziyut. As we see, it's like havayam v'mitziyut in reality. In the way things are. She'echad mi'arba sibotav u'heder kodem. Okay, Kemosha Amu Chazal, the rabbi said, L'chi gavach misrach. The chicken grows when the egg decays. This is our yirida, our descent. Anachnu ha'umar nivcheret. We are the chosen nation. Pla'im begalut, peterim banu ala menucha nachala. And we are situated, stuck wondrously in the exile before we come to our ultimate rest. And the final degradation will be corresponding to the final elevation. When the Jews go down, they go down to the dust, to nothing. And from there they rise. You'll be degraded until dirt. Kuma azvatalanu, God, we say to you, like we descend into nothingness, please help us. Hooray. He says it's a matter of nature. Before creation, you have to have absence. I mean, is it true? Is it true? Sometimes, excuse me, in order to build, right, in order to build something good, what you have to do? Probably in order to build the best thing. What do you have to do? You come into a place, right? Like, you're a cancer doctor, right? In order to build somebody's immune system, what do you got to do?
Break it down.
Break it down and start from nothing. If you try to work with what you have, right, it'll just get worse. So we see that in nature all the time. And it's a fact of nature that in order to have you accomplish your greatest growth, you have to blow on
the name. You can't, you know, you got to learn for the test before you take the test. The more you put in, the more you get.
No, but here he's saying you have to suffer. You have to be degraded. Why do we have to suffer? It's not a matter of pain, the pain, a constructive pain. We're talking about this destructive pain. He says that's just the way nature is. That's the way life is. Right? The more you suffer, the more you grow. And that's answer B. We'll call it B. Now we're going to answer number C. I have another reason. Why? You notice how he always says that? But I'm saying, it's a good thing that you point that out with your kind of joking way, but he always says it because that's how he says it. He cannot say Mashiach Tzidkenu without saying Amen. That's like those, you know,
don't say this scratching for the edge.
This is the worst, like, you know, you're at a terrible speech, And the rabbi ends the speech, like whatever he's talking about, pick a topic. Lashon Hara, right? Because it's Sazeria Mitzvah, right? And if we're Zoche not to speak Lashon Hara about one another, we should be Zoche to the building of Mashiach Tzidkein, being a Mashiach, being Hera B'Yameinu. Amen. No, the yada got two amens. Amen. B'Yamein. Right, I'm sorry. Anybody ends off that way? Like, and then everyone, oh, he's got a, you know. No.
You never did that.
I never did that. Unless I was talking about Mashiach, but I don't think I ever did that. But like, that's like, everybody's sleeping, I need to wake you up, Mashiach Tzidkeinu, amen, be amen. Listen next time, okay. Sorry.
The American remnant goes on stand-up.
V'divrei ha-mekuvol ha-eloki, you should only hear. Baal Sharei Ora. So the Baal Sharei Ora said the following. Okay, and he was, Shaya mekubalim ha-gdolim b'mekedem, one of the great mekubalim, Shargam Rabbeinu Beit Yosef, b'viyo kamen, he's quoting the Beit Yosef. Rabbeinu Yosef Giktila b'sifot tzachtat panech al Haggadah shel Pesach. Now you have a word on the Haggadah too. Very nice. B'piska Baruch Shomer Avtachato L'Yisrael. Blessed is he who kept his promise to Bnei Yisrael. So obviously the context is we say Baruch Shomer Avtachato L'Yisrael Shakadosh Baruch Hu Chisha B'taketz. That God kept his promise that he told Avraham Avinu we would get out by 400 years, and we got out before then. Great. So he said the following. We have a good question. So he says, I mean, ask. It's the same question every time. You can ask it in every context. Why did the Jews have to go to Egypt? Right? God said to Avram Avinu, Abraham got into a big funk and was very upset. Now, I would be very upset too. What would I say to God? You know what, God?
Don't
worry, you know, like, maybe they'll stay. Now, it seems that this was ingrained, into the DNA of the Jewish people. That it was just going to be that way, that there was going to be a galut. Who knows it? He says, "Hu l'sod gadol." It's a great sod. V'zeh ki mi'acha she'atshem yitbarach bachar b'zer Avraham. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Abraham and his children. Ilo yitnei begalut. If he hadn't put them in the exile, so they never would have to accept the Torah. Why? If everything was great without the galut, and they lived in the land and everything was wonderful, everything is going great without the Torah. So God's going to show up one day and say, you know, I know everything is really good and you're having a great life and you're living in Israel, but I'd like you to stop doing a bunch of things that until now you could do. Kemo, bein ma'achalot, I'd like you to stop eating forbidden food. Bein ba'arayot, bein b'shar dvarim.
Let's get
zapped. V'ilu yit'akev le'echad mehem hayom le'echol basar, o lishtot yayin, anu mistarim le'rov, achash anu mugalim behem. Can you imagine a certain person in the yeshuv, you told him, no more meat for you. Right? Sorry, no more wine for you. No more, I don't know what you like.
Milk.
Milk for him? No more milk?
No
more milk and cookies. No more coffee. Take away my coffee? Oi. It's kosher. Why not? It's awesome. You know, it was one until now. That's how people feel about Starbucks. Had Starbucks until now, don't take it away from me.
It's gone.
What?
It's gone.
Is it gone?
Yeah.
Have you stopped taking it? You go. I don't go. I'm never around.
Really?
You never had Starbucks anywhere?
I did.
It's gone?
It's hard not to have
gone in America, but you're here. You don't drink it.
Oh, me? There are ways of getting what we need. Okay. Kol shekein b'Yisrael taryag mitzvah l'doray doray. Now if something came along and said, no, you have to do 613 commandments forever. Hayesh debar kasha l'Yisrael shel adam yoter mizeh? Is there anything more difficult? V'nei hitzrach yitbarech lihaglotam b'mitzrayim. Okay. So God had to exile them to Egypt. And they couldn't leave. They were in the shiabud, the subjugation of the exile. When God sent Moshe, he said, go tell the Jewish people, Taryag mitzvot yesh yilchem lekabel. You have 630 commandments. If you accept them, yidi goel etchem. I'll redeem you. V'im lav, and if not, heyu b'yotchem. You're looking at me, Johnny. What's the problem? Should we finish this point? Or do you want to criticize it already?
Can I criticize it already?
Yeah, go ahead. That was the understanding. As it says, what's the rest of it? When you take out this nation, right? God came to Moshe at the snet, at the burning bush, and said, "Understand, right? When you redeem the people, you're bringing them right back here." V'hasod kulo ramuz bepasuk ze shemim leolam. Be'im kain. If so, hold on 5 more minutes. 2 more minutes. Im seid galut Mitzrayim lekabel haTorah siba legmul haTov haGadol leNishba leNimiyato Yitbarach. The exile from Egypt into Egypt was the reason that God wanted to give us, right? That in order to give us the Torah. Al kan Torah v'Kadoshim. The mainim anu Mitbarach. We learn from this. Shesod haGalut hi shekidei sheyutzu latzeit mi leMitbarach kedei lekabel haTorah. The reason is because we want them to want to go to Midbar to receive the Torah. If they were in good, they would never go out to a desolate desert. We all do this all the time. Right? What were you doing? Hold on.
Hit me, please hit me.
You withhold things from your children in order to give it to them so that they'll do things you want them to do.
Is that always the good, best way, though?
Don't you? Oh, you don't think about it that way.
Of course you do it.
But we do it. And you do it in order to make them do things they don't want to do.
Yep.
Why would you make a child do something they don't want to do? Like,
that's the easier way.
Homework.
Right?
What?
That's the easier way. If you don't do this, it's going to get
punished. No.
Whatever your thing is, you know. Or if you don't do your homework, then you're not going to get
punished. Homework is suffering.
You don't do your homework, you're not going to go play with friends.
Uh-huh.
Can't go out to do this until you finish your homework. So, but the ideal is not that. I mean, it happens all the time, but it's not the ideal, right?
Okay, Johnny, you've held yourself.
Oh, there's several things, but the first thing is that, okay, so we had to go down to Mitzrayim.
Right.
So Moshe comes along and says, right, let's go. How many did we leave behind? How many miracles did we need to convince us and the rest of the world that actually this was the right thing to do?
We
came out, why didn't we die? Why did you die, you know, to bring us out to die in the wilderness when we could have stayed in Egypt?
Yeah.
It didn't transform us. Took a lot of slapping.
You know.
A lot of good stuff. Why couldn't we just have the good stuff?
We wouldn't have taken it. That's a good point.
We were on the lowest Madrega. We had to be brought up to a Madrega. So we weren't there to get it.
That's exactly the point. Imagine if everything was great.
Perfect. Wouldn't have done anything, bitch.
Yeah. What
do you do your favor?
There's a carrot and a stick. This is the stick.
Because that's exactly the point. He's making my point even better than I could. Why did it have to be so bad? It was so bad, and even so, people didn't want to do it.
But
the whole point is because you're saying, like, sometimes, you know, something's staring you in your face and you still say no to it, right?
Right.
So,
I mean, if you're a good manager at work, right, you know, and you want your employees really to be effective, if you say to them, you know, don't keep doing this, otherwise, you know, you're not getting that does work, but it doesn't work as well.
And doesn't work long term.
It doesn't work.
Where
as,
are we now?
It doesn't work as well as building people up and making them feel.
We did until what?
Until when?
Until everything was great, so we didn't have to.
We read the kid's story this Shabbos about Shlomo Zalman. There's all these unbelievable stories about Shlomo Zalman.
Okay.
That there's the parents of a Down syndrome kid. Wanted to send him to a school, a special school, basically, which was like a dorm school or whatever.
Not kosher.
It was kosher, but it was like unpleasant.
Okay.
And they asked, they were between two schools, and they wanted his opinion about which school they should send the kid to. And he said to them, what does the kid think? And the parents said, well, the kid doesn't know what he's doing. He's this kid with Down syndrome. He doesn't know. So Solomon got very mad. He said, this is impossible. How can you take an opinion without asking the child what he thinks? He said, bring me the child. I want to see the child. So parents come back with the child, and Solomon looks at the child, and he says to him, my name is Solomon. What's your name? So the kid says, you know, my name is David or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so he said, listen, David. He said, I have a problem. I'm a very big rabbi, and people come to me all over the country with questions and all over the world with halakhic problems and whatever. He said, there's a school in Israel which has a bunch of kids that are there that, you know, need extra attention, whatever. And I don't have anybody to check the kashrus there and to check about the religious studies that are going on there. And I want you to be my representative at this school and report to me directly about any things that you feel are in violation of kashrus or whatever, and tell me what the school needs to become a more whatever school.
Okay.
And so they tell the story that the kid went to the school and he was like energized. He was like, he actually did keep in touch with Rosh Shlomo Zalman, and he didn't even want to go home on vacations and all this other stuff because he felt like he had a really important job to do. This kid with limited whatever capabilities, and he was like, he totally changed his life. And if they would have said to the kid, like, they would have said to the kid, like, you're going to school, kid. You know, don't go to school, then we're not going to take home for, you're not going to get any presents. You know, right? And, you know, I mean,
I don't know.
It's the way you portray the message.
I don't know. I'm not a
manager.
Positive versus negative reinforcement.
Mm-hmm. What do you think you could offer us? If everything was good already, what do you have to offer us to make us want to keep the Torah?
We're talking about Avram's generation.
No, so Avram's grand descendants. Okay. What can you offer me? What could I offer you? What could I offer you? Yeah, grandchildren. No, great-great-grandchildren.
No,
great-great-grandchildren. You right away give them the Torah.
From Avram.
Yaakov's grandchildren?
No, Yaakov's children. Will they keep the Torah?
Hard to say.
Were they keeping Torah like Yaakov was keeping Torah?
Does it
was
sound
Yaakov
like it?
Keeping Torah like Yitzchak was keeping Torah? Was
and again, keeping if Torah everything like is good, keeping... if everything is good, why would you change?
Good question.
Because God came to you as a revelation and told you, "I want you to do it."
No, because it's working for you.
So
it's not working for you. It was working for me before.
So, but then the other argument is like, what God is offering you is so great, He has to bring you down to the lowest of the low, because then you'll just accept anything.
Yes.
That sounds so good.
No, because
wow, this stuff is
because
so
as good as it is, human nature is such that we wouldn't change even for something because it's something that we don't appreciate.
Right, but then you might
what if somebody says
what Hashem is offering is
no, that's exactly the point. For something that
we only take it because
I'll backtrack. For something to be truly valuable, what do you have to do? For the things that are really valuable and worthwhile in the life, what do you have to do?
You have to work.
Right. Who do people really want to work for the things that are truly valuable?
Yes.
No, only after you're educated that things are truly valuable.
So how many years? How many thousands?
You understand what I'm saying? Only after you realize that the things, you have to be taught that things are, that the only things that are really valuable are the things that you work for.
So is this the point? After 6,000
if you're given everything.
After 6,000 years,
you would have learned
that lesson.
How would you see everything as a rabbi without a prophet if you never didn't have it?
No, we did. We went in Gan Eden. Everything was there.
And what happened? That's exactly the point. I mean, don't get me wrong, but this is the curse of plenty that Moshe Rabbeinu talks about in the Sefer Devarim. He talks about it all the time. He says, "I know what's going to happen, and there's almost nothing I can do." Shamanta avita kasita, right? You got fat, you became corpulent, and you kicked it. Why? Because that's human nature. As soon as things are good, you take it for granted. You think that you deserve it until somebody poorer and somebody who wants it more is willing to work a little harder than you. And comes up behind you and beats you until he becomes rich and deserves it all. So how do you change? How do you accept something? You have to have a want. You have to have a need.
There's this huge controversy. That's too much to understand. When they came out
you can't understand. We're never going to get Mashiach.
What?
We're never going to get Mashiach that way.
It is a little depressing. No. Makes it a little more.
There's a huge controversy going on in the States, supposedly. I'm not in the middle of it, but this Chinese parent thing.
Yes.
Are you up in?
Correct.
It's basically the same
situation. Tiger mom.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, no sleepovers, no nothing, work, and otherwise, you know, that's basically the controversy.
Don't get me wrong, Moshe Benedict was over for lunch yesterday. He was telling me the difference between one nationality of workers and Chinese workers. Right? He said that, well, sorry, Brazilian. He said Brazilian workers, it took, it would take 8 Brazilian workers 4 hours to unload a container. The same thing 2 Chinese guys would do in half an hour. Why?
Take them on.
They just work hard. They work much, much, much harder. Tell them working to work. Americans are not like that anymore. We used to work like that. We lost it. Why? Right. And it's human nature.
It got too good.
It did get good. It got so good. I mean, I come from a state called Michigan, if you've ever been there.
We're all fat.
People are all fat, literally and figuratively. They came to assume that they deserved an $80 an hour job to do anything.
It's true.
I exaggerate.
Not at all.
And that's why Michigan is now suffering worse than anybody, because the worst thing you can have is a mentality like that.
Magia.
As soon as it's magia lecha, you don't get anything.
And it's an Israeli.
That's why my house is worth very little and will continue to be worth very little for the foreseeable future.
Magia.
I don't know. Well, pize. So he says talk about it. Just let it sink in. Okay? Well, pize, and based on this. First of all, I don't have to justify it. That's what he says. You know what I'm saying? You can like it or dislike it. That's what he says. Well, pize. Gam anu ne'mar b'tam hatzarot shayal lanu kodem b'yad ha-Mashiach. So he says, well, that's why they had Mitzrayim. By the way, you could ask your kids. You know, I used to teach teenagers. And they used to talk about, oh, I got the we, and I got the whatever, and I got the whatever. And I said it like it is. Like, you know me, I don't beat around the bush. I said, let's be honest, you're not going to play this in, you got the greatest video game, but you're not going to play in a week. Are you? And they were like, no. You're absolutely right. Because they don't value anything their parents give them. And the more the parents give them, the less they value it. They like it. It's exciting. The latest iPhone, the iPod, the whatever. I downloaded this app, and whatever. It's exciting. But they don't value it. You know, because they want the next thing. They value the things that they work for. The thing that they had to pay for. And the worst thing you can do as a parent is to get your kid whatever they want. Anyway.
Just to sum it up with a ridiculous story. I watched a child run a key down their parents' car this afternoon.
Today?
Yeah. Not intentionally. He didn't know what he was doing. He was walking with a car key down the car.
Oops.
And the parents didn't... He was already crying from something else. But like, whatever. So I told him later, I heard the story. And he turned around and says, but you can just buy another car. You'll just get another car. And that was his line.
Right.
Because there's just no comprehension of what... You just get it replaced.
Just
get another
kid.
He is a
big guy.
2 years.
I think
you're in it. What's
the teacher?
Big one,
no, just like it.
We don't do that anymore. Parents don't say that anymore. And he's kidding, but you know what I'm saying? That was a gisha. Parents don't say that anymore.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby used to say, I took you, brought you into this world, I'll take you out of it.
Make another one just like you.
Yeah, do it. This is the last galut. I don't know how he gets this, and he's going to say it a number of times. He says, we're not going to lose one soul, other than the people that are, like the millions of people that are already killed. He says, no one, not one person is going to be lost. You will be plucked up, gathered, one by one. That no one should be lost. Now, let's say Mashiach came. Now, he shows up right this minute. Mashiach's here, everybody, come on, you're invited.
They don't want to go out in Mitzrayim.
Hold on. Isn't it going to be really bad before we get it?
No.
It is pretty bad, isn't it?
It was, he's in the middle of, he's in the middle of Holocaust.
Of course no one will die, because we're
going to
all get wiped out.
What's missing in Galut? Hem ashimim v'chashuvim. They're rich, they're important. V'samim bein ha'amim. Kemo ha-Rothschilds v'ha-Baronim b'Yisrael. Shisiru gedola v'chavod. They've got greatness, exalted honor. V'nidromu v'samim v'chorei ha'aretz. Malahem u'l-Mashiach v'l-Eretz Yisrael. Who needs Mashiach? Who needs Israel? Lahem yesh po Mashiach v'Yushalayim. They have their own Mashiach, their own Yushalayim. V'enam tzvichim l'Mashiach yoter tom li Mashiach lahem po. They don't need a Messiah. They don't need a Messiah more than they have.
This is why especially Jerusalem's time.
This is why Christianity was successful.
I didn't say that.
I don't need Jerusalem because I got one right here.
Yeah,
sure.
I set you up. Okay.
That's why Christianity was successful.
What do you mean? Because they don't want to go
back. No, came out of a huge problem, and people were desperate and looking for something. And
Kasher asu beemet kein ashirei Yisrael. That's what the rich of Israel did. Chayu yoshvim b'shalva b'bavel b'yimei Ezra. Right? In the times of Ezra, they lived in Babel. Kasher katav Rashi b'kiddushin, de'afilu k'sheirim ayushim b'shalva v'ashirut b'galut lo alu imo. Right? And you should just know. Read the book of Ezra. Who made Aliyah in the book of Ezra?
Poor people.
And?
Criminals.
And? Poor people are criminals. I mean, what do we know about them? What do we know? We know some lepers. We know a ton of them were intermarried. How do we know a ton of them were intermarried? Because Ezra had to tell them all to divorce their non-Jewish wives. Like, you don't think about, like, oh, Ezra and the Aliyah, they're about to build the Beis Hamikdash, and you think, like, hordes of, like, religious people came. Not so at all. What?
Same people went to Australia.
Pretty much. Meaning, why would you leave...
I meant to say the next week, but then he's not here.
Yeah. Or not everybody's welcome. Why would you leave Bavel if everything is good? Come back to Eretz Yisrael. It's a mitzvah. Don't be getting me wrong. If you're living in Melbourne, Babylonia, you know what I'm saying? Like, the Jewish community is established. Okay, we suffered, and now I have a home in suburbia. Somebody says, okay, let's go back to Israel.
Right.
Think about Israel. Like, would you go to Israel? Would you leave, you know, Hamburg in 1910 and go to Eretz Yisrael?
No way.
Are you nuts? What is there in Israel? Well, first of all, it's the promised land. What? Swamps. No, but what is there?
Swamps.
We should almost be like two houses in a pub.
Yeah. You ever go to what's this town right near here?
Mascarpatia.
You're going the tour of it?
Yeah.
Oh, what was Mascarpatia when you got here? Well, there was this building. Yeah. Yeah, that was it. That was Mascarpatia. And
rotten cheese.
A lot of hard work. And, you know, like, and they got messed over by people over and over. Like, who would go? You gotta be nuts. And who went? Really, who went?
Maybe about the Gush Katif.
That's right. Well, that's not fair. Idealists. Two kinds of people went. Idealists and people who have nothing to lose. Like, who do you take? You take the people who I have nothing in the shtetl.
The same guys who went to Australia. The same guys who went to America.
Correct. Right? Who went to America? You got to be nuts.
Same.
100%.
People who are kicked out.
Right. I mean, that's how you start. He says, no, and in Bavel, that's exactly what happened. That Felix, don't think that all the firm people made Aliyah in the times of Ezra. It didn't happen. The Seder Hadorot, Bezel Lashon, Rab Yuzpa Shamash, Bebachuto Limad Bishivat Hagon, Ramino Pilchas Segel, Shuaya Abbezin Bekahal Kadosh Fulda, Vaz Shnat Shinpei. Shinpei is 1620. Vamar Beshem Rabo Hagon, Morenu Valk Bal Machaber Sma. He says the following: Mashashchichen Gzerot Bekahal Kadosh Vermaisa. Vermaisa? Anybody know what Vermaisa is? One is
Worms.
Worms, right. There are three major communities. There's Vermaisa, Magensa, and...
Spire.
Thank you. Spires, Mines, and Worms. And those three communities were known to have suffered terrible persecutions. Ad kedei kach, that there is a kina that we recite on Tisha B'Av, dedicated specifically to the destruction of these three communities.
Sure.
Okay? Yoter mishar kilos. He says, why did they suffer more? I'll tell you why. After the first bite, Jews left. You think they didn't only go to Babylonia? They went to Worms. After 70 years, Babel, so they went back, right? You know, the exile returned. Some people returned. So lo and behold, nobody from Germany showed up. So they sent him a letter. And they said following, Shiavoh gam heima leshev Eretz Yisrael. Come on, guys, come on down, come help us settle the land of Israel. Yideish yu yecholim b'shloshet ha-regalim leilech Yerushalayim. Shiva chokmam, you can't come to Yerushalayim, you can't do, you know, Ola l'regel, it's very far. V'lo v'shkichu al zeh v'katvu tshuva. They weren't really so interested in the offer, thank you very much, no thank you. And they wrote the following answer. Shvu atem b'Yerushalayim ha-gdola. You dwell in your big Jerusalem. And we will dwell in our little Jerusalem. Right. Why? They were very important in Germany. They were very rich. And the Sma says, you want to know why Germany suffers to this day? Because Germany said, we don't need Eretz Yisrael, we don't need Yerushalayim. You stay in the big Yerushalayim. We'll stay here in the little Yerushalayim. V'nir ali lehosif, and he says, I would like to add, du'ulai mitam zeh haita tamid eretz ashkenaz yated tukua lera'a liyisrael.
Wow.
He said, that's why Germany is the source of all those problems for the Jews. He says, it's not the Germans' fault.
It's the Jews' fault.
The Jews' fault.
So what would he say about the aliyah today of Eretz Yisrael?
What do you mean?
Like, aliyah from, like, England, South Africa, and America.
That it's so schwach?
No, no. I think it's interesting today, because like when you see on like the Nefesh for Nefesh videos, right, when they sort of say, is that now people are choosing to come to Israel.
That's what I'm saying.
People were always choosing. No. Excuse me.
Coming as a result of the Holocaust.
People always chose to come.
No, before they came because they had nowhere else to go.
He's saying, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about today.
Either they had nowhere else to go, or they had nothing to lose, right?
People come now because of the Holocaust?
What would happen to Jewish people listen with their belongings?
That's why you came?
No, that's not anyone.
Yeah, personally.
I don't think that's what because you think that. Oh.
Thank God, I can come here and I can still do the things that I did before.
No way.
You didn't come because of the Holocaust?
No way.
You do?
There's certain that without.
I did.
No way.
Part of you smoking?
Part of you, of course.
No way.
Because I'm an American, everything's perfect here, but...
No one came because of the Holocaust.
Are you kidding?
You came because of the Holocaust?
Not directly, but you do.
Not the one that happened.
Did you come to Israel because of the Holocaust?
No, because if you want to come, if you stay because of the Holocaust, you're going to stay in America and just enforce South Africa.
No, I don't think it might happen.
Have Israel support Israel's insurance policy. People in Chutz Lareks support Israel because they want an insurance policy because of the Holocaust.
I hope that's not true.
No.
Yeah.
You believe in Israel.
A lot of people.
You believe in Israel as Jewish nationalism. People have Jewish nationalism. They have pride.
Wait a second. If you really believe in Jewish nationalism,
not if you can't because you're halachic. You would want to, but you just can't because you're not willing to give up your $1 million salary.
Really?
But people that come now in Aliyah come because of idealistic reasons, I think.
I think people who come now come for a lot of different reasons, and one of them is the Holocaust. It had no factor in your decision whatsoever?
Zero.
Go ask your wife.
Zero.
None? Really?
Zero. Zero.
Okay. None? Interesting. Very good.
So that's why I'm asking.
But you can still stay.
I can stay? Thank you. What?
No. What? Came from the Holocaust?
No, it's not the reason.
Because? No,
it wasn't worried.
No, it's not.
I'm not worried either.
By the way, I must say, I wasn't worried about me or my children. But... Let me put it this way. Name me a Jewish community that did not end in suffering and destruction in the Gola. A major Jewish community. Name one.
Sorry.
Right.
Major Jewish community in...
Why would you think that America will be different? Okay. Right. That being said,
I agree.
That being said, I didn't do it for me or my children. I don't know when it's going to be. But let's say it's my great great grandchildren. So you mean I've got now Kanai Nahara, Bezat Hashem, follow the numbers, 100 great 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 grandchildren. I want them to suffer.
It's not why you made Aliyah.
No, not why I made Aliyah, but it was there. It's in my mind.
How about this? You wanted your great grandchildren to live in Israel?
Yes.
That's.
But making
I mean, I thought about that. I said, you know,
they want to suffer. I want them to suffer now. I don't want them all to suffer.
You know, in each generation, our minuscule contribution to like.
You don't see that at all.
Making Aliyah is not going to guarantee your grandchildren stay in this country.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. 100%. It's going to make it much more likely that they'll stay in this country.
Many Americans think they'll suffer more here.
What?
Yeah. Many Americans think they suffer more here.
Sure.
They do think that. That's true. Okay, you're right. Your point is correct. It's not necessary. There's no guarantees of anything. Obviously, you want to educate them in the proper way, without a doubt. You want them to have the values that you think are important.
Your point is listening.
What? But I don't see. Meaning, if you just like I said, if you look at Jewish history, history does repeat itself, and it repeats itself increasingly worse every time. And every time they say it'll never happen. Every time they say it'll never happen again.
Suffering is not over.
Well, he thought it was over. He thought it was the end. But he didn't see. He did not foresee. He did not foresee. He did not foresee an entire Jewish community springing up outside of Israel. He thought that this was the end. You know what I'm saying? And it clearly wasn't.
But does the Aliyah from all these countries that we're talking about disprove the theory of that you have to be bitter and suffering in order to grow?
No, but I don't think he's saying that. He doesn't mind if
I told you two kinds of people come. Two kinds of people. The altruist idealists and the people who have nothing to gain. Okay? We are, and I really mean this in the nicest way, we are the altruist idealists. What percentage of the Jews in our prospective country are we?
Small.
How small?
Don't know.
Like minuscule small? Like a small percentage of 1%?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would say that, right?
Right.
That's about the number of idealist altruists are willing to give up the $1 million salaries and come. Okay? What about the rest of them? How are we going to get the rest of them to come?
Shocks.
What?
Lightning bolts.
That's right. That's exactly what he says. That's all he's saying. He's saying God doesn't want to give up on the rest of them. And they're not coming on their own. How are we going to get them to come? Only one way.
Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin. I didn't say that. Okay. Al-Kopanim. We see Kimipnei Sheikh Azman Betuchim Biminatam, since they saw themselves coming down as strong in their country. That's why they suffered. And this is why it's happening in all the places of exile. Because they lost in from their intent to return to Israel. Al Kain. Now, by the way, we can't say this. Right? I wouldn't say this. It's a harsh statement. But Rav Tachlach can say what he wants. He thinks, why are we suffering now?
Because we're not.
What? We're suffering now, i.e. in the Holocaust, because we gave up on the idea of returning to Eretz Israel. We gave up on the idea of...
I mean, it's obviously hard in 1943 or whatever for him to understand what's going on with the American Jewry. We don't understand what he knew about that. But, American Jewry were also, at that stage, probably also quite comfortable.
American Jewry was not.
They weren't suffering.
American Jewry at that time was a... 40s?
They were really fighting.
What?
They were fighting, but there was no real nascent cash for
it
set up.
It was nascent, right. It was nascent, and it was the prospects of growth of American Orthodoxy were relatively bleak. Everybody thought Orthodoxy was purging membership to conservatism, which was just really a way station to reform. Right, and nobody really thought that Orthodoxy would have the resurgence that it did. Nobody thought so.
4 day schools.
And really, by the way, and who saved? I believe this. Who saved American Orthodoxy? The exiles from Europe, European Jewry. Right. Think about what Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik came from Berlin. Right. And Rav Aaron Cutler and Moshe Feinstein and the great leaders all were exiles from Europe. Right, they had seen the greatness of Europe and somehow had the passion and the fire and the whatever to rebuild it, which is really unbelievable. So he didn't see that. He thought that we're at the end of days, mamish end of days. Since we're at the end of days, he says, why does God bring this upon us? Because he wants to go to Eretz Israel.
And why did they come to Israel?
What? Why did they go to Israel?
People are hungry.
They went wherever they went. They went where they got to. Right. By the way, not everybody could go to Israel.
For a long time.
Not everybody could go to Israel. Wasn't so simple.
And 20 years later?
Meaning in 1948?
No, 60s.
Why did they go?
So they made a life.
I don't know, ask them.
They probably, let's say you spoke Hungarian and you moved to England and you learned English and you want to like move again and learn Hebrew.
No, from American.
They say, why did Moshe Feinstein? He could have done fine.
The big Gedolim that were...
They didn't necessarily...
They were working, they were building.
Soloveitchik never came to Israel.
Never came, and we once again. He did a little bit of Shir America's Arab once. Earth? Yeah. He wanted to, whatever. Wait 1 second. Here, this is a very shocking statement. Al-Kain me'atzat ha'amuka. See where I am. Me'atzat ha'amuka. I ain't bet. I'm like, 5-7 lines in. Al-Kain me'atzat ha'amuka shel gedol ha'atzat. That's code. Atzat ha'amuka shel gedol ha'atzat. The deep atzat, advice or knowledge of gedol ha'atzat. He who is great of great advice. What is that talking about? Who is that? Who is the Gedol Ha'itzah who's giving this Eitzah Amukah? Mm-hmm. I understood it. It's talking about God. Therefore, what he really is saying is, God brought about that it would happen. Misovev Alehem Tamid Galut V'Shiabud Kasheh. God brings about Galut and Shiabud Kedei Shiyirtzu Lashuv LeEretz Yisrael. In order to get us to want to return to Eretz Yisrael. He said, This is true and clear.
Depressing?
Yeah. Why can't God just
place what, make a 3-day working week? And
that's what we've talked about the whole time. Okay. It doesn't work.
Because he created us in such a way that he wanted us to deserve it on our own. He wanted us to appreciate it. He wanted us to want it. He did not want us because if we don't, if it's just like it's like our teenage kids. If he just gave it to us, it wouldn't mean anything to us.
But one second, hold on a second. That's human
nature.
That's
what
you were saying. When you teach your kid to sit and learn Mishnayos by himself, and he sits by
himself,
and he absorbs that from osmosis through whatever hashgacha, that's as good as it gets.
Yeah, that is pretty good. Okay.
But like, it's much better than getting your Mishnayos. Open your Mishnayos. Why are you opening your Mishnayos?
Correct.
If you don't open your Mishnayos, you're not going to display the Rez.
Correct.
So Rav Teichel is like painting this picture, like Kilo, like there's no chance. Like unless the carrot and stick, like.
Oh no, I don't agree because it works for some people, but for most people it doesn't work.
So he's talking to the masses.
Don't you think? Yeah, of course there are some people that you show them the light. You say, well, you can learn all this Torah and it's good, and they're going to say, great, shovel it in there.
That's what we talk about.
I mean, but look at the most people. They're just not into it.
Whatever, like the whole like you know.
I hate to break it to you, this is a total different discussion, but the education system that all of our children are learning in is based on elitism. It's totally geared towards the elite. Right? They learn a system of study that's geared towards a very complicated, different language, extremely convoluted, and to be brutally honest with you, not everybody really understands it or is meant to. Gemara. Mm. Right? Let's say, and boys are, and they're forced to learn Gemara for pretty much most of their teenage life. So, if you're lucky, you get it. And if you don't, what do you do? How are you branded? Is that fair? Right. And that's the system that we're in. Why? Is everybody meant to learn Gemara B'Iyun? You could say, yeah. What?
Probably.
You think so? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Discussion. Don't do it for a day. I have to finish this paragraph. The Yonah sent it, that Noah sent out the dove, the Yonah. Okay, Yonah is siman Israel. So Yonah is a sign of Israel. Kishem shelo matzah Yonah makaf manoch kaf lagla. Just like the Yonah, the dove, couldn't find any place to rest because it was still flooded. Kach Israel lo yela manucha begalut. The Jewish people will never have rest in the exile. Shneemar veloitam manoch lekaf lagla. Ukishem shani Yonah shaba el ateva. Just as the bird, the Yonah, the dove, returned to the ark. Kach Israel atidim lashuv laartzam in galut. They all hagoyim shanim shanim lemayim. The Jews shall also return to their place because of the burden, the yoke of the goyim. Shneamar, hoy ha'an ha'mona amim rabim ke'amon yamim yehemayun. Ad kad b'amadash b'gerash b'geret b'noach. Harim v'vash b'midrash. It says explicitly, sha'agalot titchakem le'artzam. The exile will force them back to their land. By the way, it happened that way. It did happen that way. The galut forced us back to our land. It just didn't force all of us. Right? So you could say it's a process. He thought it would happen all at once. V'chein Hashanu Adavarim b'midrash Eicha. It's also midrash Eicha. He Yashvav Goyim lo matza Manoach. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Omer I matza Manoach. If he had found Manoach, lo hayta chozeret. Okay, let's skip down a couple of lines. V'katav ozeh v'sefer Torah Tumimah. The Torah Tumimah writes b'zeh lashon in this language. One second. V'hachi perusho. This is what it means. He Yashvav menefesh chafza b'goyim. Okay, meaning this is from Eicha. She said amongst the nations she didn't want to turn to Israel. Right? She could not settle. The reason why the Yonah could not settle down because she couldn't find a place to rest. This drasha, this lesson is very clear and it's a very clear message. He says it's been true until this generation. And we love to say it because we're living in a time where we don't feel the persecution. Right? There's always those peaks and valleys. So when you're not feeling the persecution, this seems strange to you. He says, understand this is an absolute eternal truth. Ad kam hashanah al kol panim. Nudal nivei chazan nizkarim. Sod ha-galut v'koshi gzerot. The secret of galut. And the difficult gzerot. Sheba'ot alim tamid miyamim yamima. Kedei le'orer otanu mishenat ha-galut. It's there to wake us up. The alarm clock of the exile. To jar us from our complacence, to shake us out of our fitful slumber, and to force us to return to the land of Israel. Yeah.
Yes, God. How could he think that this?
Here be Amen.
According to him, it's going to keep happening.
No, he thought it was the end. We're at the end. At some point, it's going to end. Mashiach will come. Correct. We'll all return, and then there's no galus anymore. If there's no galus, then there's nobody to force us to return. That's the end. Right. Unfortunately. It was wrong. This is the end of this year.
There's no more.
There'll be more next week. Okay.